right. Well, good morning again, and welcome to Door of Life. So good to have each of you here with us this morning, and we just trust you've already started off a wonderful day in the presence of God, and just that good work He started in you today is just going to continue on now through the service and throughout this day. But praise God. I'll tell you what, just love Christmas, love the Christmas season, and just preparing our hearts for such an amazing appreciation for what God did for us in Christ Jesus, and just so many good things to be stirred up this Christmas season with. And we're going to go ahead and do that right now as we take a look at a very familiar passage of Scripture this time of year in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Luke's account of the gospel tells us the story this way. It says in Luke 2, verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" I so love that in verse 11, how personal the proclamation is. You know, in verse 10, we see clearly he's bringing good tidings and great joy, which will be to all people. All people. You know, God's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to that eternal life. You think about it, he's the one who paid the price on the cross. He wants everyone to receive what he paid that price for. But in verse 11, it's such a personal thing. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You know, he was born for us, but he was born for you. To realize that he was born for you. And what was he born? He was born a Savior, who is Christ Lord. Again, some other similar scriptures along the same lines. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So here again, we see God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And we find something else about this gift. James 1:17 through 18 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So we see a few things about this time, Christmas time, as we talk about Christmas gifts, and of course Jesus Christ being the first Christmas gift from God to us. Why? Because he so loved us that he gave us this Christmas gift. And what is this Christmas gift? Very specifically, in verse 11, it says, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So this is stuff we know. Jesus is that first Christmas gift. And what is this Christmas gift exactly? This Christmas gift is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And what I want to do this morning a little bit is I just want to take a look at the gift of Savior. Because this is what we got. This was the gift that was given to us by God. What does that mean? "For unto you is born in this day, a city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." We've received the gift of Savior. And I just want to unwrap that gift a little bit this morning and take a closer look at what that means to us in real life. What is this gift of Savior? You know, I love, too, how James says that the gifts that are from above, they're perfect gifts. When God gives a gift, because this time of year, a lot of times you're wondering, you're scratching your head, what am I going to give so-and-so? What am I going to give that gift? You know, you can have two extremes, the person who has everything or the person who has nothing. And for the person who has nothing, you begin, where do I start? What should I give them the most? The person who has everything, it's like, they have everything, what could I give them? You know, but God's perfect gifts, they cover the whole spectrum. The gift that God gives, everybody on both extremes needs this gift. And everybody in between needs this gift. It is the absolute perfect gift. And again, this morning, wherever you are in the natural material realm is, you know, irrelevant as it relates to the perfect fit of this gift in your life. The gift of Savior It is the gift that we all need. First of all, just again, in unwrapping a little bit this gift of Savior this morning, we want to take a look at a few different aspects of this gift. The gift of Savior is the gift of grace. As you look at the Savior is really a gift of grace. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 puts it this way. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Look at that. That is such a powerful statement. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Very emphatic, saying it multiple times. Lest anyone should boast. You really just can't be any more clear than that. In other words, there is not even partial credit we can take this morning for our salvation. Our salvation is 100% the gift of God. It's not Jesus plus anything else. It's just faith in what Jesus did. It's just calling upon his name. I am saved by grace through faith. It is not of me. It is totally the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone. So the gift of Savior, first and foremost, it's a gift of grace. It's an absolute gift that God gave. For God so loved the world again, he gave. And the powerful truth of Christmas is it just reminds us and helps us, especially as you're growing up spiritually and you're growing in the things of God and you're bearing fruit for the kingdom of God and all that stuff, that's all great. But the only reason you can do any of that stuff is because you're on a foundation of grace. You're building on this foundation. You're building on a foundation that has absolutely nothing to do with your efforts, your works whatsoever. Now, thank God, that scripture actually goes on to say, I didn't get that verse on here, but verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus for good works he's ordained us to walk in. Now, that's building upon the foundation of grace, and that's good. I'm not saved by works. I'm saved for good works. And sometimes as we're working for God and doing good things for God, we can kind of lose sight of that and think that somehow his favor is tied to me doing. No, it's totally the gift of God. Praise God. I'm just saved by grace through faith today. I just totally rest in that. There's just nothing. There's nothing on my to-do list that I got to get done. You know, there's nothing that has no I that has to be dotted or T that has to be crossed. I am saved right now. If the Lord were to come back or something were to happen to me, I know in whom I've believed, fully persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Salvation is a gift, and it's a gift of grace, total grace. Ed House has a lot of stories of trial and error as I've grown up spiritually in different areas of my life. But I've been saved the whole way, still in the family of God from beginning to end. I am saved by grace through faith. The gift of Savior is first and foremost, it is the gift of grace, because really it's the gift that we needed. Again, the scripture says every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And grace is the perfect gift, because that is perfectly what I needed. We talked about this a few weeks ago, too, just about the love of God continuing on. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amplified. He did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all. Will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? This is a powerful argument the Apostle Paul is making to believers. In other words, he said, this cross was the start. It was the beginning point of our experiencing his grace in our life. And saying, if he didn't stop here, but gave us his son, what else could he give us in comparison to his own son? That's greater than his own son. That what would he withhold from us that could be any greater than his son? Nothing. If he gave us his own son, there's nothing he'll withhold from us. Praise God. So he is for us. It goes on to say earlier, later in this passage too, that God is absolutely for us. So we see that there is this a gift of Savior is a gift of grace. It is a gift of abundance. I so love that in verse 32. It says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, when I'm thinking grace, I'm thinking abundance. I am thinking abundance. Now, when I'm thinking abundance, again, you know, it's not a matter of natural material greed or covetousness or excess, things like that. But in other words, it's not even close with God. When he takes care of me, I got to see him as the God who absolutely, super abundantly takes care of me. It's not like God and the devil and they're duking it out and it's a real close match. It's not a close match. Jesus spoiled powers and principalities, made a show of them openly. And the Bible says that he was raised far above, not a little bit above, far above all powers and principalities and every name that is named. Jesus far superior. He that is in you is greater than he that's in this world. It's not even close. It's that all the enemy can do is get in your mind and try to make you think it's close, but in reality, it's not close. Not even a little close. Jesus had authority over the enemy at every time. He gave us that authority. I love this analogy of the superabundance of God. The gift of Savior is a gift of abundant grace. Romans 5, 19 through 20. For by one man's disobedience, that's talking about Adam in the garden, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, that's Jesus, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Verse 20 in the Amplified. But then law came in, only to expand and increase the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting opposition. But where sin increased and abounded, grace, God's unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased the more and superabounded. That's a powerful way of putting it, to be able to see how much greater God's grace is. In ancient history, we're told that Caesar had a friend to whom he once gave an amazing present, magnificent present. But when he offered it, the friend said, "This is too much for me to receive." To which the emperor replied, "But it's not too much for me to give." After all our sinfulness and rebellion, God's gift of pardon through Christ does not seem too much for us to receive. Christ does seem too much for us to receive. But the riches of divine mercy are so great that it is not too much for him to give. When God forgives, there is not one sin left unforgiven. Christmas was indeed too great a gift for man, but it was not too great a gift for God to give. You know, and a lot of times that's really what it is, just that humbling yourself to receive that incredible love. Here's the deal. Ross Perot used to say that. Here's the deal. Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now you got the choice. You can take him as your Savior, or you can be your own Savior. And when a person rejects Christ, that's exactly how they reason. They reason as though they were and are their own Savior. And the response that you'll get in that sense is, well, I'm hoping that my good outweighs my bad. And if my good outweighs my bad, then a just God would have to let me into heaven. That's how a person who is their own Savior thinks and realizes. That's the way you have to think. But when a person receives Christ as his Savior, man, it's not a matter of my good outweighing my bad. It's a matter of his good outweighing my bad. That where my sin abounded, his grace is much more abounded. In other words, the scales are already tipped in my favor. And they're not tipped with my goodness. They're tipped with his grace. Really tipped. Oh, John's saying, he died not for our sins only, you're talking to the church, but he died for the sins of the whole world. Wow, not willing that any should perish. See, that's the power of having a Savior. Scales are already tipped. And a person who's their own Savior looks at your confidence and says, well, that's arrogant. How can you? No, they're not tipped with my goodness. They're tipped with his grace. That where my sin abounded, his grace has much more abounded. And I have a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. One who is going to tip the scales with his grace in your favor. One that where your sin abounds, his grace is much more exceedingly abounding. The gift of Savior, what is it as we unwrap it? It's a gift of grace. It's a gift of grace. And then I call him Lord. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Man, like I said, I've got a trail of the mercy and the grace of God that stayed with me. Getting up many, 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 many times. You see an area of victory in my life, it's because there's been an overcoming with the grace of God that has stuck with me as I've overcome and gotten victory in different areas of my life. Doesn't mean that I'm perfect. But as all that stuff is going out and I'm growing up spiritually, the scales are tipped in my favor the whole time. In other words, I'm not doing anything. The scale thing's done. I'm going to go on and live for God and bear fruit and stuff like that. But where my sin is abounded, his grace is already much more abounded. This stuff is secondary, bearing fruit. Remember what we read in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? It says, I'm saved by grace. It's the gift of God. Lest anyone should boast. Now verse 10 goes on to say, now we're his workmanship created in Christ for good works. But those good works that I was created for have no element of saving in my life. It was totally the cross. The works that I do are bearing fruit in my life, which is a great thing, and God's called us to bear fruit. But that fruit doesn't save me. It's only the cross. It's only his grace. In other words, the fruit, I could do a wonderful, 100 wonderful things, and that doesn't further tip the scale in my favor. Do you understand? The scale is forever tipped by the grace of God. The grace and the things that I do for God, the Bible says he's going to reward me for things that I've done in the body. There's going to be some reward for that. I don't even know what all that exactly means. But all the good things that I do for God have nothing to do with these scales. These scales were tipped by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. It's the gift of Savior is the gift of grace. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's also a gift. It's a tremendous gift of life. I so love this one because I'll tell you, if there is ever an aspect of the gift of Savior that distinguishes true Christianity from a dead man's religion, it's this element right here, the gift of life. When you receive Savior, you not only receive grace, but you receive something else, very powerful. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 puts it this way, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. This is just a very wonderful, succinct way of putting it. He who has the Son has life. I love John 3:16. We read it a little bit before that, see. It just says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's very powerful. He doesn't say he who has the Son has religion. It says he who has the Son has life. Sometimes we say, oh, that, look, they got religion. Well, if they really got born again, they got life is what they got. You got life. And that life just does something to you. It's eternal life. Well, you'd think it should have a little something. You know, you just got eternal life. Praise God. You know, eternal life is not something you get after you die. It's something you get before you die. So that after the body dies, the life continues on. All right? We've said this before. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. All has become new. You don't change at the point of death. You stay the same. You're still your same spirit. The change took place when you received Christ. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And what did you get? You got life. You got the life of God on the inside of you. I love that. It is life. And it's this life that we perceive on the inside in so many different ways that absolutely changes us. And again, the powerful thing about Christ and tying it back into this gift of Savior and being the first gift is that it is the gift. It is the gift. It is the one gift. If you could think of through all the years, all the Christmases that you've celebrated, every present. In fact, if you could just go through the years and pile up in a big heap every present you've ever received on Christmas, it would probably be a pretty big pile through the years. And yet, you can't take any one of those gifts with you. But this is the gift you can take with you. They say, you can't take it with you. Yes, you can. There is something you can take with you. He who has the Son has life. And that life is in you now. And you sense the fellowship of his Spirit. You sense the fellowship of that peace, that joy, stuff we were talking about this morning during praise and worship. The sensing of the peace, the joy, those things. That's the Spirit of God on the inside of you, keeping you company with amazing things that just make you aware of his presence. That presence is in you now. That presence will be with you at the point when you leave this body, whether the Lord comes or whether you die before the Lord comes. You don't just leave this body by yourself. You and that life, the Spirit of God, you leave together. And you go together. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll lead and guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. Do you understand? Your human spirit is not the only thing in this physical body. The Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God. So your human spirit lives here. The Holy Spirit lives in your human spirit. Praise God, leading and guiding you into all truth. So there's two of you in there. God's in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. You and God walking together. Praise God in that sweet fellowship. You and him together. And so at that point again, you'll never be alone again. That's what I'm saying. You know, right now he's with you. When you leave, depart, you're going together. You and the Spirit of God together. He loves you. He's with you. It is, your Savior is not only grace, it is the gift of life. It's a life that will always, always be with you. 1 John 3:1 puts it this way. It says, behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know. See, we know in part, right? We don't know everything right now, but we know in part. So it has not been revealed what we shall be, so that's something we just don't know right now. But we know, this is the part we do know, that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's a powerful, powerful statement. You know, to behold the manner of love the Father's bestowed, that he would do this for us. And you see, again, the verbiage here, it's family, it's children of God. He made us children. In other words, he didn't just save us from our sins. He adopted us into the family, born of his Spirit. We're born of his Spirit. We're part of his family. He gave us a gift of life. All right? The very life of God is on the inside of you. And we sang about this one earlier this morning in one of those songs. Ephesians 1:13 through 14 says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, going on again to talk about more about this life. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise on the inside. In other words, you know that sense of the Spirit of God, that peace, that working with you, that God that you perceive in your heart by your spirit? That's evidence of something amazing that's yet to come. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, the Bible says that what fellowship has Christ with devils, you know, Christ with Belial, you know, there's no fellowship there. And it's also the evidence that God, when he made you new on the inside, he made you so new, righteous on the inside, that your spirit could actually be a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Powerful. Because your spirit on the inside is brand new. And so there he is, that Spirit of God, that life in you, that gift of Savior is a gift of life, the life of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that seals you and realizes, man, this is the guarantee. What's the guarantee? That Holy Spirit of promise is, it says, who is? The person of the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. You haven't even begun to see your inheritance. The Bible says there's an inheritance in heaven waiting for you, reserved for you, that is fadeless, doesn't corrupt. That Holy Spirit is the life of something even greater that's about to come. So he gave us life in the here and now, right now in this condition, our natural mortal condition, the evidence of that life on the inside of us. Now, as far as Christmas gifts go and that life, you know, we're kind of talking, it seems kind of theory, you know, in your mind, but yet it's very real. It's very tangible. It's something that, you know, as a believer, even during praise and worship right now, as you begin to worship God, you can sense the Spirit of God moving in your heart. You can sense that Spirit of God leading and guiding you into truth, giving you peace, different things like that. Receiving the Savior, you receive that life. Even though it's something you can't see with your eyes, it's very much a gift. That's part of that Christmas gift that it blesses you every day. Love this little story. "Mommy, what is Christmas?" asked the 3-year-old girl. Her mother carefully explained that Christmas is Jesus' birthday. "Well, then why don't we give gifts to Jesus if it's his birthday?" The mother explained the tradition of exchanging Christmas gifts as expressions of our love for each other, and that seemed to end the matter. It did not come up again until Christmas Eve, when a sleepy little girl placed a package under the Christmas tree on her way to bed and explained that it was a birthday gift for Jesus, which she was sure he would open during the night while she slept. After she was asleep, the mother, not wanting her daughter to be disappointed, opened the clumsily wrapped package and found the box empty. On Christmas morning, the little girl was thrilled to find the package had been opened and her gift was gone. "What was in it?" asked the confused mother. "It was a box full of love," came the answer. How childlike, how Christ-like. You know, this is a gift that we have even this morning. We're talking about stuff you can't see with your eyes, can you? But yet it's there. And what did Jesus say? "Unless you humble yourself as a little child, you can't see this Christmas gift." It's not a gift you can see with your eyes, and yet it's there. Yet it's real. And yet it's powerful enough to change a life. It's powerful enough to take someone from the kingdom of darkness and move them over into the kingdom of God's dear Son, this invisible love, this invisible life that makes a brand new person. Takes somebody who was by nature a child of wrath and puts the nature of God's love on the inside of them. Praise God. That's the gift we're talking about, the gift of Savior. It's a gift of grace, but it's a gift of life. Invisible to the natural man, yet very, very perceivable to the spiritual man. It's a gift that just continues to minister. And then finally, it's the gift of love. All right? The gift of love. And here's the couple scriptures I just want to look at kind of side by side here. You know, where it says in Luke chapter 2, we kind of read this earlier. It said, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" That was the good news. To us, there was born to us this Savior, this gift of Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then when that Savior came, lived his life, fulfilled the Father's will perfectly, died on the cross for all of our sins, was raised from the dead, he had some parting tidings for us. He said, "Now, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You know, we had this good news come to us, you know, through the angels who made the declaration. We received it. Jesus accomplished it. We, you know, and his believers received that gift. And then what did he tell them? He turns around and tells them, "Okay, great. Now you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This gift of Savior, it's a gift of grace. I'm saved today because the scales are tipped by nothing that I've done. It is completely 100%, not even 0.00001. of anything I've ever done. The fruit of my life does not tip those scales. Those scales are tipped by one thing. God's grace is much more abounded. End of story. I'm not my own Savior. I've chosen Him to be my Savior. Praise God. Number two, praise God, it is a gift of life, where He gave me that life. Praise God, imparted life into my spirit, changed me, made me brand new, made me whole. Something I can't see with my natural eyes, but it's very real, very powerful. Lives on the inside of me. I'll never be alone again because I have the companionship of the Holy Spirit. But then finally, there is a gift of love. We receive the good tidings. We now in turn are supposed to go out and give those good tidings. Acts 20 verse 5 puts it this way. "I have shown you in every way, this is by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, 'It is more blessed to give than it is to receive.'" Not only do we receive this gift, but we have the privilege of being part of giving it away. There's a great little song that goes, this is just a part of it. It's called "The Gift Goes On." The Father gave the Son. The gift goes on. The Son gave the Spirit. The gift goes on. The Spirit gave His love so we can give the gift of love. The gift goes on. It is that gift. And the unique thing about this particular gift is you receive that grace, you receive that life, and then you get to be part of what the Apostle Paul said. It's another pinch. It's like we're ambassadors. We're representatives of this gift. We're representatives of this good news. We get to have a part to play in people receiving this gift. This is how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians. He says, "For the message of the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing." Is that still true today? Yeah, still true today. "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Is that still true today? Yeah, things really haven't changed, have they? No. Nope. "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God." That's profound. "It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." God chose the vehicle of preaching this message as His tool to bring people to salvation. It would not be the intellectual elite of the day. The intellectual elite of the day didn't get Jesus 2,000 years ago. They don't get Him today. There is a message preached. There's something about the simple story of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. It can just be passed off as a story, but it's true. It really happened. And the Spirit of God is in the earth to make it real to the person who humbles themselves as a little child. Foolishness, foolishness to those who are perishing. But those of us who are being saved, it's like, wow. Praise God. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Now I see. I see it. I see it. And you know, you just even think of it from a natural standpoint, as far as Savior and salvation. Man, there's no other way to tip those scales but by the grace of God. There's just no other way to do it. And I just thank God that I can see it. And I thank God for the people that helped me to see it. Praise God. You know, it's an amazing thing. I've just had such a wonderful support of people in my life who've helped me and have guided me. And that day when it just became real in my heart and I on purpose gave my heart to Christ, you know, just an amazing thing. Changed my life. Didn't mean I'm perfect, man. Still the same guy. Still had the same weaknesses and things in my life. But now I had something else in me to help me overcome those things. But the great thing that we've got now to realize is that this gospel, it's a gospel, it's the gift of love. We've received, for God so loved the world that He gave us this, and we in turn now are able to turn around and give that gift of love too. And let me just kind of maybe just encourage you this morning, because a lot of times we see clearly God uses us in different ways, you know, to minister God's love and grace to people. And maybe you've done it. Maybe you've tried to just share your faith and love. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where God will show you what to say. You know, God will kind of show you what to say. But you know what? Just because somebody rejects you doesn't mean you missed God. Did Jesus miss the Father when He was rejected? No. What did Jesus say? He said, in fact, He said, "If they persecuted Me, they are going to persecute you too." If nobody could just say and do everything just right so nobody was ever offended, it would have been Jesus. But He couldn't say and do everything just right so nobody was offended, could He? No. He was saying what He heard the Father say. And sometimes it blessed people tremendously, and other times it offended people tremendously. But He was faithful to say what He heard the Father say, to do what He saw the Father do. And that's ultimately what you're judged by, not what other people think about what you did. To your own master you'll stand or fall. And He'll judge you according to what He knows He told you. Not what other people think you thought you connected dots. No, that means nothing. It's you standing before your own master. And you know, those rejections that you experience today may be salvations tomorrow. Because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but you know, person, as the Bible says, the Spirit of God draws a person to salvation. A lot of times, there's dots, you know, that of you were experienced God. Maybe you saw one of those crazy people when you went to school, you know, and then you graduated and got into college, and oh, there's another one of them over there. And you kind of go on down life, and all of a sudden something happens, and you're needing something, and you see God move. And God really answers something. It's the same kind of person that was there, there, and there. And in a moment of time, the Spirit of God can connect all those dots and go, oh, this is it. This is real. This is right. The story is, I believe. And your rejection, all those, it might have just been a little dot that God will use later to connect in a person's life. You got to understand that. You got to understand the big picture stuff. The thing is you're just doing what the Lord is showing you to do. Jesus promised, if they persecuted me, they are going to persecute you too. In fact, if you're going to live godly in Christ, you will suffer persecution. These are promises. And so we can't emotionally gauge. You know, we just spiritually go, hey, Lord, you know, and we can miss it in these areas too. I'm growing. I've missed it in all these different areas. I mean, anybody who's trying to live for God, you know, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to try to live for God and make some mistakes along the way, or you're just not going to do it at all. You're going to bury the thing and bury it in the ground and just be critical of everybody else who's trying to live for God. Let that gift of love come through you. Dare to take some risks. Begin to live for God. Begin to do some things that He's putting on your heart to do. Listen to those promptings as to how you can share that love. And a lot of times it's not just sharing the gospel or sharing your faith. There's just different ways. You can be gracious. You can be kind. You can just reach out. You can just show love that can open doors to people's hearts. A lot of different ways to get this message out, you know. Children sing it out. Children can give it away in a drama. Musicians, singers, through songs, you know, nursery workers, through teaching children. There's a lot of different ways that we can get this out. Even business people who make money and finance, you know, the gospel in different powerful ways. These are all different elements that even different places God will have us in the body that He'll use us to help get this message out. It's not standing up on a Sunday morning and preaching a message. It's just being what God has called you to do. And every part of the body is connected in that life by which every joint supplies. There's a supply of life. It causes increase to the body. It's not the pastor that causes it. It's all those parts working together, you know. And so it's a gift. It's a gift of Savior. It's a gift of, praise God, a gift of grace, the grace that's greater than all of our sin. It's the gift of life, praise God, that rescues us, puts the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us so we're never alone again. We have His life, His love, His companionship, the strength. I can do all things through that life that strengthens me. This personal relationship is personal. He that has the Son has life. And that life means so many different things in our lives through the years. God will just bring out different emphases. And I'm dealing with this. Yeah, that life can take care of that. What about this struggle? Yeah, that life can take care. I can do all things through Christ, through this life that strengthens me. It continues to give. And then finally, the gift of love, where I'm now not only a recipient of this gift of Savior, but I give away this gift of Savior through the ways that God leads and guides me. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before You in the name of Jesus. We thank You this morning for our gift of Savior, that we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And in this precious gift of Savior, there are so many other gifts that go along with that. And we just go ahead and make our declaration of faith, of thanksgiving, Father, of who You are as Savior. If your heart can agree, go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for my Savior, Christ the Lord, who was born unto me. I thank You. It's a gift of grace. The scales are tipped in my favor. They're not tipped with my goodness. They're tipped with Your grace. Where my sin has abounded, Your grace is much more. Super abounded. Not even close. The stuff I do for You now has nothing to do with those scales. Those scales are 100% the gift of God. Not even a little boasting. None. It's Your gift. I thank You for it. The gift of life. I have You, Jesus. I have life. I have a strength through which I can do all things. I'll never be alone again. No matter how I feel, You'll never leave me. You're always there. It's that gift, like that box of love. In me is a box of love. The love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Can't see it with these eyes, but I've humbled myself as a child and I can see it. Thank you. And the gift of love, help me, Lord, to give this away, to not be afraid of persecution, but to only say what I hear you say and to do the things you prompt me to do. You will work with those things and bless people. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my life. I believe the message preached. I humble myself. There's many things I don't understand, but one thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Tip the scales in my favor. Grace of God, superabound over all my sin. Swallow me up in life, in love. Jesus, you are hereby my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If that's the first time you ever prayed.